Well, it's great to see all of you here tonight as we look at the 73rd Psalm for this evening. This is a Psalm of Asaph. He was one of the three that David used in the sanctuary in the temple. He was a musician. He was a Levite. He was from the family of Gershom. And he wrote about 12 of the Psalms that we have. And recorded tonight, what I want us to look at is from your vantage point of where you are in life, what is it that you see? I read the other day an illustration about there were six blind men. They decided to go to the zoo, and they had a tour guide that was hired to take them to the zoo and to look at the various animals. And since the zookeeper knew that they would have to give a verbal expression or a description of what they felt rather than what they could see, and with limited time, he took each one of them and he used an elephant as one of the mammals that he had them to describe what they saw. Now, since the elephant was large and the zookeeper had limited time, he let each one of them touch one of the body parts of the elephant. The first blind man reached out his hand. He grabbed the elephant's tail. He said, "Aha, the elephant's like a big rope." The next blind man, he felt the massive leg of the elephant. It looked strange in his mind, and no rope was that big. And so he exclaimed that the elephant is like a large tree or a large log. The third blind man walked forward. He ran straight into the elephant's side. And then he said, "The elephant's really just a big wall." And then the next one of the blind men reached out and took hold of one of the elephant's ears. It tickled the elephant. The elephant wiggled that ear. And the fourth man exclaimed, "Oh, you see, this elephant is just like a big fan." The fifth blind man decided that all four of the others were slightly deaf and they couldn't be describing the same creature. So he walked up with his hand and he lifted the massive trunk of the elephant, and he said to the others, "My friends, it's obvious the elephant is like a huge snake." The sixth blind man was totally confused. He walked over hoping to find the truth, and he encountered the tusk of the elephant, to which he exclaimed, he said, "I understand the true nature of the elephant is this. He is a sword." You see, it all depended upon what they saw from their different viewpoints, from their different perspectives. And that was the problem with the psalmist tonight. The psalmist looks and we see how the psalmist is educated. Notice, if you will, in Psalm 73, verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart." One of my favorite of all hymns is "Pure in Heart, O God, Help Me to Be." I love the words of that song. I love what that song says. The truth that's in it that mirrors to us a reflection of the purity of the heart. And when Asaph said, "Truly God is good to Israel," and then notice he qualifies that to such as are pure in heart. Truly, God is good. You see, there are a lot of people that say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. There are others who say, well, if God is good, then God is omnipotent, and why does he allow things to happen? And some would say, well, God is omnipotent, but God is not good. Or God would change the things out there that are confusing, that cause great misunderstandings in our life. Asaph was educated on solid ground. And when we look at what he has to say here, he speaks about the goodness of God. But we know that the Bible says there's none good, that is, but God. And so we can truly say, beyond a shadow of doubt, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But you see, even in that, what did he mean by truly God is good to Israel? You go back through the Old Testament and you see all the times that God was good to the nation of Israel when their heart was bent on being pure and doing the right things. God had blessed his people. In fact, the psalmist said in the 84th Psalm, the psalmist said, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And so God blesses his people. But I want you to know God blesses the purity of his people as well. Because Asaph says, "To such as are pure in heart." Let me ask you a question. In the world that you and I live in tonight, in the world that kids are growing up in that is so much different than the world that many of us grew up in, with all the technological advances, with the internet, with everything at the click of a mouse or the touch of a keypad or whatever it may be, we might ask, how can people be pure in heart in the world that we live in that is certainly not pure by any stretch of the imagination? Let me tell you, the only way you can do it is through the grace of Almighty God, by living in his word, by keeping close to him, by trying to walk uprightly. And so the psalmist, we see that his footing is on solid ground. But then I want you to notice something else in verses 2 to 16, what the psalmist experienced here. In verse 2, he said, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death." The psalmist looked around. He began to look at the prosperity of those out there that lived wicked lives, that lived evilly before other people. And it just seemed like that everything seemed to go well for them. It seemed like that everything was coming up roses. It seemed like that they did not even fear death when it came time to die, that there was even peace in them. He says, "But their strength is firm." He moves on to verse 5. "They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment." And the psalmist, from his perspective, from his human, earthly, fleshly perspective, he looked around and he camped for a while. As he gazed from his perspective and viewed life and viewed the wickedness and the evil of others from his perspective, much like Solomon did when Solomon looked around at things under the sun, speaking of a humanistic point of view, a very liberalistic point of view. And the psalmist said there in verse 2, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." I think many of us probably look at things like that in our own world. We begin to look around much like Asaph did. We don't understand all of the things that happen to us in life. I don't have the answer to all the things that happen. You don't have the answer to all the things that happen. But we know that there's a God in heaven. And God has the answer. God sees from a heavenly perspective. God is watching from a distance out there. You see, the psalmist had lived on a very solid ground, but he begins to slip. This slipperage that we see because of, as he looked around. Let me tell you, folks, if you look around and count very long in some of the things that you see of people that are prospering and people that are boastful and arrogant and proud and insolent, if you camp there very long, you will become like Asaph here. You'll lose your footing. Your steps will begin to slip because you will become envious and you will become like one who wonders and questions so many things. We'll see the psalmist will take a different turn in the rest of the psalm. He goes on and he says in verse 7, their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. You look around at the wealth of this world. I look around at the wealth of this world. I look around at the Bezos of this world who have billions and billions and billions of dollars. And then I look around at this world at the hungry, the homeless, the helpless. And you wonder where somebody with so much wealth, how that they could not reach into the depth of their heart and out of the abundance of what they have, reach out to help even more than many of them do. He goes on in verse 8 and he says, they scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. Pam sang a song a few moments ago that spoke about oppression. Many people tonight feel oppressed in our world. And notice the psalmist speaks of these who scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. You see, as long as they have plenty of money, as long as things are going great for them, and they're not being challenged by some of the things that others in life are being challenged by, then they become very boastful. They become very proud. They become very arrogant in and of their fleshly desires. Verse 10, therefore, he says, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. Asaph says, they increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. Asaph began to look around and ask the question, have I just done all that I've done in vain? All the good things that I've tried to do, the things that I've tried to accomplish, have I just lived it all in vain? Is it just vanity and vexation, as Solomon would have said early on in his life? Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain. Asaph began to look around and he began to camp too long in looking from a human perspective. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Do you sometimes feel that you're chastened every morning? Do you sometimes feel that you are being plagued and dogged by some of the things of life? Let me tell you, many of these things become tests for us. They become tests to see how deep our faith is, how strong a foundation on which we are building on the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist here was felt chastened every morning. The psalmist felt overwhelmed with all of the pressures of life, with all of the struggles. And he looked around out there at others that seemed to not have those problems. And he became envious. Verse 15, he says, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Have you ever just sometimes wondered, Lord, why? Why the human suffering? Why all of the things that we experience in life? And let me tell you, it doesn't take long to be in hospitals till you see. Carla and I were talking a few moments ago. We were talking about how blessed you are if you can walk, if you can move, if you can talk, if you can see, if you can taste, if you can touch, if you can feel. Let me tell you, we're blessed if we're able to come to church, amen? We're blessed if we're able to continue to be engaged in life. And the psalmist looked around at all of those cases out there that really challenged his faith. He began to slip. He began to feel so overwhelmed with all of these things. He said in verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. There's a lot of people that give up on life. A lot of people every day, we read about it, we see it. People giving up on life. I think it was in my Sunday school class this morning, maybe I did it in the sermon as well. But according to the Gallup poll, that America is one of the most stressed of all nations in all of the world. When you think about the nations of the world, when you think about some 203 or so countries in this world, America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, America, the place of prosperity. We've been one of the most prosperous nations that has ever been blessed on the face of the earth. We've been one of the most charitable nations on the face of the earth. And yet, in the 21st century, over half of the population feel stressed. Children feel stressed. Children experiencing anxiousness and anxiety. Suicides on the rise, the increase, the intensity in all walks of life and in all ages of life. Let me tell you, if you look around at where you are from the human perspective of things, let me tell you, life looks pretty bleak, doesn't it? The psalmist realized in the midst of all of this that he has a wrong perspective of things. And so we see the things that he experienced there in verses 2 to 16. But notice in verses 17 to 28, notice he encounters some things. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Remember, Asaph, the writer of this, a Levite. The Levites were the priestly tribe. They were the ones that did the things in the sanctuary and the temple. Asaph was one of the choir leaders, one of the song masters. He looked around at life and he began to evaluate. He began to survey life. He began to see all of the injustices that are in the world. And he began to see that, and it stole his joy. It took away joy and happiness within his heart. He said, my steps had almost slipped when I looked around and saw the foolishness and the wickedness and the prosperity of the wicked and how they live their life. But notice what he said in verse 17, until his human perspective was what he experienced in life. But he changes now to a heavenly perspective. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. You see, you and I have been talking about that on Sunday morning. We've been talking about one of these days of great white throne judgment where all the lost dead of the ages will stand before the great I am. We'll stand before God and will be judged because they've rejected him. The only other way they can be judged is by their works, and their works will not be able to attain them beyond the righteousness of the one they rejected. Therefore, they will be assigned and consigned to the lake of fire, eternal punishment forever and ever. Notice he said, he began to survey, he began to look around, and he said, when I looked at all of this, then I went to the sanctuary of God and I understood. I understood their end. Surely you set them, notice what the psalmist said, surely you, speaking here about God, you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel. A few moments ago, Ken led us in, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I can remember, Ken, as we were singing that I remember the very first time I ever heard that song as a child growing up in church. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, brought back to me the memory. The psalmist Asaph was saying, when I went into the sanctuary of God, he's saying, I got a whole different view of things because I see what the end of those that are wicked will be. I see what the end of those who reject Christ will be. I see a whole different view of things. He said there in verse 24, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a river, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. Let me tell you, the psalmist here, he got a whole different view of life. He got a whole different perspective. And then notice in 25 what he says, whom have I in heaven but you? Speaking of God, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. God is the counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's wonderful counselor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See how he eventually moves from solid ground to slippery ground and then to a more solidified ground of a heavenly perspective, not looking at his surroundings around him, but he's looking at who God is and that his strength is really what counts. His faith, though tested, is a faith that can be trusted. Someone said a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Asaph certainly was being tested, but he comes to a place of reconciliation. He comes to a place of resolve. He says in verse 27, for indeed those who are far from you shall do what? Shall perish. You've destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. Yesterday, I was doing a funeral service, and one of the songs that was sung was Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That verse says, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of his love, what a glory he sheds on our way. If we do his good will, he abides with us still to all who will trust and obey. You see, when the psalmist came down to the end of writing this song that they would sing back in those days, the psalmist had totally changed his whole perspective on life. In the book of Job, Job's life, Job had a different perspective until he comes to the end of the book of Job. And then Job's perspective totally changes. It becomes a heavenly perspective, and God gives him double what he had at the beginning. You see, the psalmist looked around. He began to linger too long over things, over questions that he could not answer. He knew the one that could answer it. But to not really have an audience and to be personally one-on-one communicating, he could only see from his vantage point what he had experienced. And what he experienced didn't add up to what he knew his faith was. And so he said, when I looked around and saw all of those things, my foot Thy will slipped. And then when you skip over to verse 17, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. There's a world out there tonight, a world that's growing more restless every day. There's a world out there tonight that is teetering and tottering on the brink of all kinds of issues and problems. They're looking at life from a human perspective under the sun. Let me tell you what, when the going gets tough, that's when you and I have to have a faith that gets going. The psalmist finally came to that place at the end of this and realized that God is his strength, that the experiences in life become tests to grow, to mold, to make him a better person. Donna Bradley used to sing a song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Let me tell you, I believe that would be some of the sum and essence of what the Asaph was saying here. He's working on me, because when he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What an incredible change from where he was to where he ended up at the end of the psalm. Let me tell you, life is tough. One of the poets put it this way, life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not the goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Folks, let me tell you, life is tough. Life is real. Let me tell you, it's only our faith in Almighty God that gets us through the tough times of life. There'll be many questions in life you and I will never be able to answer when people ask us. But I know this God is too good to be unkind. I know he's too wise to be mistaken. I know God is far too deep to be explained. If I could explain him in every area of life that I don't understand, I would be as smart as God himself, and there would be no purpose for God. Let me tell you, you can't isolate God. You can't put him in a laboratory. You can't put him in a petri dish, stick it under the microscope and analyze God, because that's not how the infinite God works. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Let me tell you, when you can't understand, reach out. Take a hold of faith and trust and obey. Amen? Would you stand as we pray together? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, God, for your words that bring comfort and consolation and hope and help and encouragement and peace along the weary journey of life. God, when we look at so many lives that are broken, torn apart, hurting people, God, we realize that our only help, our only hope is to trust and obey you. God, when those times that we experience in life, when we're put through trials, when we are tested as you are molding and making us into what you want us to be, help us, oh God, that we would reach out and take hold of our faith and trust you, to know that in the midst of it all, that you work out all things for our good and for your glory. Father, we praise you for who you are. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.